All right. Well, good morning. I'm excited that we are starting this series. I want to highlight something that's kind of powerful. Tomorrow in our country is a big day with a big oath. I think we can say that with great power. A lot of times what happens is what's highlighted is what it looks like to be a citizen of this country. And so grateful for that. And so what we want to do is we want to pray for that. And then what we want to do is introduce ourselves to what it looks like to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, which is our ultimate, ultimate goal, assignment in life is to follow after him. And so let's pray for our country, and then we'll dive into this together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this opportunity to dig in your word. And Lord, we pray for the country that you have placed us in. Lord, this is not our home, but this is where you have us until you bring us home. And so, Father, I pray that we would reflect you while we're here as ambassadors, Lord, as just reflectors of your grace and mercy to those around us. Lord, we thank you for this, and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are, as was introduced there, really creatively. I love our communications team and how creative they are with different things. And so hopefully you got like an overview of the Sermon on the Mount. But one of the things I want to, as we look into this, the Sermon on the Mount is remarkable. There are a variety of things that you've heard, just like snippets of it that have been copied and pasted and stated in other places in your life that you're like, I wonder where that's from in the Bible, and it's probably from the Sermon on the Mount. And what's powerful here, a few things that we want to bear in mind as we look at this is, first of all, we're going to look at context here in a second, but we also want to pay attention to some things that really we always need to look at when we think about God's Word. One thing is, we are reading this with the work of the gospel complete in Christ. So we're looking back, knowing that we have received the grace of God, and so we're hearing these things by faith because God's grace has been displayed to us. And so that's a big deal, okay? So pay attention to that. The other thing, too, is the work of the Spirit of God. As we hear these things and look at and study these things, it's important that we understand that the Spirit of God is doing this work in us as we read and study these things. So it's a lot going on. And none of the things that this text calls us to do are possible on your own apart from the work of Christ in you. And that's key for us. So as we look at context, I want you to see something. I want you to give you the context, and then I want to like introduce this weird thing idea that I want you to lock in on as we study it. Here's context. And so Matthew chapter 4, it says this, verse 23. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Now, I want you to understand, too, that that little statement in the way that it's said parallels to later when you hear the Great Commandment and all these places where these people were coming, and eventually the gospel will go to those places from there. But these are the group of people that come, and they're gathered as a result of all this work that Christ has done in his teaching and the work he's done in his healing ministry. And it brought them to this point where they get to hear what it means to follow after this man. Now, what we're going to hear, and today I am reading the words of Jesus as the sermon, super creative, but I'm letting Jesus' words be the message today, and I'm going to read the sermon out loud. Now, something that you need to understand is that sermons have this like flow to them, okay? In what's called homiletics, and that's kind of what it is, a homily, a sermon, it has an introduction that lays out for you the things that you're going to hear about later in the message, in the body of the sermon. And this sermon is no different. We always read the Beatitudes, these blessings, the happier those who are like this, and the first four of them have to do with your relationship with God, the latter four with your relationship with other people, and they are powerful, okay? And it's good to know, but what we're going to see is each of these things are fleshed out in the body of the sermon, okay? And then when we get to the latter half of chapter 7, we begin to hear this invitation. Now, those of you who grew up like I did in a certain church, part of the culture was a normal invitation where you would respond in faith to the gospel and you would come up front. It was later developed, and it was called the anxiety seat, where an invitation, a gospel invitation would happen, and you would come and have this moment. And we have it from time to time. Like last week, we had our elders up here receiving people for prayer. And you need to know that the conclusion of the message of the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' invitation for anyone who is hearing these words, and how you respond to them, okay, dictates whether or not you're going to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. And so I want you to see the introduction through the Beatitudes. I want you to see the body of it and how Jesus is saying, you've heard it this way, but I want you to tell you it's like this. And then he lays it out at the end in an invitation for us to hear and respond to. Okay? So I want you to also, just as we study this together as brothers and sisters over the next few months, that you would make a commitment to study this. It's going to take about 20 minutes or so for me to read it out loud. It will take you about the same. And if you would just say, every day I'm going to read the Sermon on the Mount. While we're studying this together as brothers and sisters, I want to know this, and I want it to impact my life. And so what we want to do is also pray, like, Lord, what do you need for me to hear from you? Not what do I want to hear, because that a lot of us don't want to hear anything that will confront us. Lord, what do I need to hear from you? And so let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God, your Father, who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes on one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to hell of fire, to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave the gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Well, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go to hell. Verse 31. So, it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Well, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, you need to beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who is in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread, our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys or where thieves do not break in and steal. And here's the key, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Judge not, that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you will give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. This is the word of the Lord. One of the amazing things that happens in our life, sometimes in places we never expect or times we never expect, is that God in his grace encounters us with his word. Today, as we have read God's word together, you need to know that that was a display of God's grace to you. Some of us, we are on paths of destruction. And we're justifying it. We're doing everything we can to cover it up, to make it seem as though it's not that bad. But I want you to understand that God in his grace had you here in this moment so that you understand what is available for you in the kingdom of God. None of what we read was easy. It's only possible because the love he has for us, for the grace he's shown us through the cross, through the resurrection, through the power that we prayed about a couple of weeks ago, through us receiving the forgiveness he's given us in Christ, we talked about last week. And so as we as brothers and sisters study over this very important, very meaningful text, you need to understand that yes, you need it, but you need to know that it will not leave you the same. God's word has this promise. Isaiah 55 tells us that it will not return to him void. It will accomplish that which it was sent to do. And by God's grace, we as brothers and sisters got to hear this, and we hope that even though some of these things are hard for us to hear, that we will, by God's grace, through faith, be able to respond and live a life that corresponds to this. Because God's glory is there. It's written on every page. It's shown and displayed for us. And we get to see it. We get to live it. And every time you submit to him and not to your way, you show his glory. So I want to pray for us. And then we're going to sing together. But I do hope that you would take this challenge to study this. It took us 20 minutes. Some of you are faster readers. Some of you are slower, so take 30. But just take the time to study this as we study it together as brothers and sisters. Let me pray for us. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this today. We pray that your spirit, your power and presence would rest on us, that you would help us see this great gospel that's changed and transformed us, and Lord, that we would respond in faith to these things. Yes, they're hard, but Lord God, we're not doing it alone. We're not doing it in our power. We're doing it with the gospel in view, with your Spirit with us. Lord, we thank you for these things. We trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing.